ERQ, Homesteading Expanded, where thoughts become action faster than it ever has. Light becomes language, and half the planet is suddenly awake. Frequency is no longer theory, it's steering the wheel. We are not practicing the dance of the higher dimensions anymore, although I was dancing in my kitchen last night after that interesting experience I had yesterday. We are on the floor, barefoot, mid-spin, sweat flying, music too loud to think, just the way I like it when I'm doing my workouts first thing this morning, getting that energy moving. Time is doing things inside our bodies no scientist can measure yet or figure it out. Clocks don't just run backward. They stutter, skip, then give up entirely. And let's not forget calendars turned to ash months ago. We're burning the last scraps for warmth. These are not metaphors. These are the felt sensations of November 2025. Boy, howdy. People message me every day. Things like, I woke up crying because I remembered a life I haven't lived yet. I quit my job last week. I sold everything. I'm in a tent on raw land, and I've never felt safer. Yeah, I know that feeling. There's nothing like being on your land and feeling safer. The timelines aren't just converging. They're slamming together like tectonic plates of light. Every Mandela effect, every deja vu that hits so hard, you have to pull the car over. I do that in the morning on my way to work because people are in such a hurry to get wherever they're going. Every dream where you're standing in a version of a past memory that is your true reality. The past is no longer behind us. It's leaking through the cracks in the present, here and now, every day. And as our friend always said, with those tiny little breadcrumb drops, the future proves past. So here we are, wide awake in the middle of the storm that's actually a birth. And the birth is, we are the storm. We, right here on BBS Radio, every week, holding the frequency steady. I am Robin with my co-host Shane riding the shotgun through the shift, and our returning guest, the gracious Tina.
Hello.
Hi.
Not yet, you guys. Just kidding.
I forgot to mute myself. Sorry.
Because some voices are needed again and again when the veil is this thin, and that is for sure. So if you're listening to this and you're feeling these heartfelt vibes, you guys know how I feel about the heartfelt vibes. That's your spirit knocking from the inside saying, finally, we're here all together again, all together again. I love it. So welcome to remembering the real time. Welcome to the place where the old world is dissolving. Live on the air, and the new one is already growing within all of us, in our bones, in the quiet between our heartbeats when we're in our quiet space, feeling our connections. We're not waiting for the shift anymore. We are the shift. We are the storm, and we're just getting louder. So, welcome back to PRQ Homesteading Expanded. Hello, Shane. Hello, Tina. How are you guys? Okay, now's
Dana.
the
Dana.
time. You go, Shane. She's got her
I
mic.
am great. Thank you, Robin. How are you? Thank you, Tina, for being here, assisting us on this journey. Thank you for finding us on this journey. How are you doing today, Tina?
I'm doing really, really well.
You
Really
guys
well.
sound so
Really, really well.
relaxed. I love it. Do you not just feel relaxed today?
I'm relaxed every day.
I love it. So, Shane, why don't you let the audience know what our caller numbers are today?
Okay, audience, y'all ready for this? We
Let's
would
get it.
love for you to call in for any with any questions in it, and we can see what we can do to answer it. Maybe we can all answer them together. The lines are open. Call 1-888-627-6008. And if you're out of country, call 323-744-4831. I'm going to say those numbers again. Lines are open. Call 1-888-627-6008. And if you're out of country, call 323-744-4831. You can email us at prqhomestead13@gmail.com with any questions. Feel free to subscribe to our show. Subscriptions only start at $2.99, and they go up from there. We really, really appreciate the support, and we hope that we can help you here.
And also, for those of you that don't want to subscribe, we do have a donation button. So feel free if you'd like to support us. We would greatly appreciate anything that you would love to share from your heart. Okay, so before we start, I just want to do a quick recap of the papal bulls. Now, last week we dove into the doctrine of discovery. And I don't feel that I gave a good description of the papal bull, so I'm just going to briefly go over that. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it. So, just for everyone that's just starting to listen or missed it last week, the papal bull is a formal decree or charter issued by the Pope, historically authentic by a round lead sealed called the bulla, which gives the document its name. The practice began in the 6th century when popes started issuing official letters and privileges under their own authority, but the classic lead I think that, yeah, lead seal format most people picture today emerged around the 9th and 11th century and became fully standardized in the 13th century. The seal originally showed the heads of Saint Peter and Paul on one side and the reigning pope's name on the other, hanging from a parchment on a silk or hemp cord. These documents were the medieval church's most solemn way of announcing everything from crusades and doctrinal decisions to land grants and excommunications, and they carried the full weight of the papal authority across Christendom. And what Christendom means is worldwide community of Christians. Okay. So the reason why we brought that to the forefront is because some of these beginning structures for the system are still in play in the present day and time. And sometimes we have to go back to timelines and come forward into the present here and now. And I'm going to share, I went back and listened to one of the Q shows, and I do believe it was September 21. And in that show, it came out to my, it came It came to me when I was driving, and it played on my Spotify. And so everything that Q was talking about in that particular the first, I think it was the first 19 minutes of that, really related to what we're talking about in the here and now. So that's why I talk about present proves past. So it's interesting when you go back and listen to some of the things that he said prior, and where we are today, we kind of pick up on things that we missed back then that help us in present time. So before we get started, you guys, I want to start out real quick. I'll do a quick one. We got a special going for, instead of calling it Black Friday, I'm calling it Frequency Friday. So this episode, as you all know, is sponsored by NanoOges, the future of wellness in one innovative formula backed by science, powered by nature, and crafted with integrity. NanoOges delivers high-frequency nourishment your body can actually absorb. Elevate your energy, clarity, and resilience naturally. Now, I have had a little bit of a head situation going on, a little congestion, and let me tell you, the nose spray has saved me this week. And as a matter of fact, I need another bottle. But they have a great special going for the holiday from November 21st through December 1st. You can check them out at nanoogis.net, www.nanoogis.net. They have a learn tab for the scientific information and also live testimonials. So when you're going to the link, in which I have it posted on the show page, it's https colon forward slash forward slash www.nanoogis.net, and then you'll do a forward slash with PRQ home. Okay, that is our affiliated link. And when you go to the checkout, make sure that you put BF30 and you're going to get 30% off your order. And again, that will be from November 21st through December 1st. So if you don't have your refill like I'm about to do, this is a great time to order it with the extra 30%. Those are big savings. Okay. So we're going to have an open discussion. We wanted last week we talked about taurines. All right. And so we kind of did a little more research in regard to that. So I'm going to give a little overview of that. And Shane, are you watching the chat? I got to bring the chat up here to make sure we have any calls.
I'm watching the chat. You're good.
Okay. Awesome. All right. So Torrens Title is a land registration system from the 19th century, South Australia, by Sir Robert Torrens. This is the gentleman that it originated from. It provides the government-issued certificate as conclusive proof of ownership, simplifying transfers and reducing fraud. Used in Australia, New Zealand, parts of Canada, and some US states. Now, I named those states last week on the show. And if you guys would like that list, just email me and I'll bring it, or I can send it to you. But it is in the archives if you want to listen to the show. So, Tina, my dear friend, what have you found out about the Torrens? Are you ready to share?
Yeah, actually, hi Robin. Hi Shane. Hello again.
Hola.
I did find out something very interesting about this Torrens system, okay?
Okay.
It was enacted in 1858 to simplify land transactions, reduce cost, and provide security of title. However, the primary benefit of this Torrens system is the initial thorough judicial review. Okay, now I'm going to explain why this is important. The Torrens system builds upon land patents and grants. It doesn't replace them, but land patents and grants serve as the initial conveyance of land from the government to private ownership. So they are the start of the chain of title. We already knew that, right?
Right.
However, the Torrens process begins with an application to a court. Like a land court, okay, to have the land judicially registered. And during that process, the entire history of the land, starting from the original grant, is examined to determine the validity of the current claim. So once the court is satisfied, it issues a certificate of title that becomes the definitive and state-guaranteed proof of ownership, and it supersedes the need to re-examine the historical patents and deeds with every future transaction. But the reason why I find this really interesting is that it's a judicial review of the chain of title, starting with the grant or the patent, right? So the reason that's really great for people, especially those in the 13 colonies that used this system, is that the records of the court proceedings, including the historical documents examined, are generally publicly accessible records. So the initial land registration process, being a judicial proceeding, meaning the application and the evidence, includes the abstract of title and historical documents. So it's like, instead of researching all that chain of title, if you're in a state that used the Torrens system, you can actually look up the judicial record, that judicial title that was issued, because it has everything from the beginning. So these documents are typically stored at the county level, often with the county recorder, the registrar of titles, or in a specific land court's archives. So let's see. In essence, while the initial Torrens process is expensive and time-consuming, it provides a, quote, gold seal of title that is superior to a traditional deed. So then I queried the database and I just asked it. I'm not going to restate all the states, but I can make a list of you for all the states that had used Torrens, in case people want to know if their state, or they could just Google, did their state ever use it? There's very few states that use it today. Some states use it in parallel to the current deed registration system.
Actually,
But,
I have a copy of that if you want me to read them out loud, if you want.
well, you can if you want. Sure, why not? I can double check my list, because I also asked it for all the states that used to use it that don't use it anymore.
Kenna, we see you on the line. We'll be with you shortly. Okay, so the states, as we mentioned last week, that use these in today's here and now is Colorado, Hawaii, Illinois, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Nebraska, New York, North Carolina, North Dakota, Ohio, excuse me, Ohio, and South Dakota. Does that sound about
Great. There are a lot more.
is?
Because some of them used it and then repealed the act in different years. Like California used it but repealed it in 1955. I think you said Colorado, Georgia, Hawaii, Illinois, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Mississippi, Nebraska, New York, but new registrations are no longer allowed. North Carolina, you can use it if you want. North Dakota, Ohio, Oregon, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Utah, Virginia, but it was abolished in 2019. Washington states, new registrations discontinued in 2022, and existing ones terminated in 2023. And the states currently using the system are Hawaii, Massachusetts, Minnesota, and Ohio. North Carolina and Georgia, the system still exists under law, but is used very rarely in practice. So, like I said before, I think the advantage to this information, and that knowing that this Torrens system actually was in place at any time, is that there is a judicial record and research, obviously, on the public record that people can look up for a property in those particular states.
So this is equal as like a deed, is what you're saying on this.
It's a certificate of title that was issued by the judge after he verified the chain of title.
Interesting. It's very interesting. Okay, we're gonna reach out to Kenna. I have some questions for you when I come back, Tina. Kenna is on line one from Oklahoma. Hello, Kenna. Welcome to PRQ Homesteading. How are you?
Oh, I'm so good. I'm so glad to be talking to you guys today.
Yeah.
Glad you're here.
Well, I had something that I really wanted to share with you guys today that I just saw this morning. So, when you go through the land title patent process, and if you go for the full 160 acres, you can get to a point where you don't have to pay property tax. And today I saw that the government, the state government of Oklahoma, just put in a bill that they are going to get everybody's signature to put in a bill to dismantle the state property taxes fully by 2029.
To
And I just
2029?
wanted
Did you
to,
say?
and I just,
Go ahead, sorry. Did you say 2029?
yeah, so they're going to put it on the ballot in 2026, and they're going
Oh,
to really decrease property taxes, be fully done throughout the state in 2029. And I just wanted to share this with you guys so much because I think that's how it really works. If you really put forward the effort and use your light to get your freedom back, that is something that the controllers of this place don't want. And so they start making deals with us, deals with the people. And I just thought that that was so cool because that's a confirmation that us finding places to live and not wanting to continue on in their system, we are getting their attention. And I am just so excited for everybody because I thought that that was such a beautiful confirmation. And I think that just means that everybody should keep doing this because it is making a huge difference.
So, do you know what the proposed bill number is and how we can read what you found?
I don't have that information in front of me right now. Do you want me to look it up?
Yeah, that would be great to share so we can dive deeper into it.
Okay,
That's pretty beautiful. She's so lovely. Can
yes,
you
thank
hear
you.
me, or did I screw up my mic again? Well,
You know, I
the article on OklahomaVoice.com, which is their government's website. It says, so currently they're doing signatures, and it's state question 841.
841.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right, good to know. You know, that's really
Thank
interesting.
you.
It's really interesting that you bring that forward because there are other states that are doing the same thing. I know we had a petition here in Michigan, but I haven't heard any other. I reached out to somebody about a week ago and they haven't heard anything on it. So I'm just wondering what took place in regard to that. I'll have to check into it. But Kenna, thank you. Shane, you have questions for Kenna?
No, I enjoy her life. She's so happy.
Yeah. Thank you, Kenna. That's amazing and lovely. Thanks. I think
Beautiful.
it's so important to see how we are affecting change. And it really is working. It really, really is working. And it's so beautiful.
Well, we hope it
Thank you.
happens sooner than 2029. Hopefully, it won't take that long. And I feel there's a lot of big changes coming. And the more people that get involved and, participate to make the changes, that's when it happens sooner. But there's no such thing as time. So we know whenever it happens, it happens. So we don't worry too much about that. Anything else, Kenna?
No, well, I think that's just the important thing for me to keep in mind is that if I could, especially with Tina's advice, I did the ChatGPT chain of title, and it didn't give me the full chain of title, but it did send me in the correct directions to go. And I have to keep in mind that at any time, I can be free whenever I want. But I'm doing this because I want everyone to be free. And it's working. So that's
Love
all
it.
I wanted to share today.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much. You're so beautiful. We love you. Thank you.
Thank
Okay.
you, Kenna.
Okay, we have another caller, Rob from Burlington, Canada, on line three. Updates on Ontario. Welcome, welcome, Rob.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Long time no hear.
I know it's been a while. I just talked to Shane though, so not so
Hey,
long ago.
Rob.
It's good to talk to you, Robin.
Absolutely. What you got?
Well, so I just wanted to send you guys a little update on what's going on in Ontario here. So this summer was, it was a little bit hit and miss with the homesteading thing, and so I've been trying to find unpatented land. And so it's they closed. I don't know if you guys remember from the previous calls, but all the land patent offices, they closed them all here. So I'm sure I could go in. There's probably in the records things and some of the libraries, the actual stuff, and I'm going to go there eventually. So it's kind of like a catch 22 because I don't have to necessarily. I'm not limited. So it's all online now. But I'm not limited to just, my county or whatever. I can actually go check all the counties across the province. And I don't know if you guys know anything about Ontario, but Ontario is massive. Like it's really, really huge. So it's actually been quite good. So I've been doing a lot of digging to find unpatented land. And I wasn't able to find any that close to me. I found one little parcel about an hour away, and I went and checked it out, and I haven't had any luck with tracking things down on it yet. But I have found a huge, huge, huge swath of land that's all unpatented, and it's about 2 hours north of here. And so synchronistically, the way it worked out was, I was reading the Anastasia books and talked about flying over your homestead and your domain to see it. And so where the actual unpatented land was, and there's this beautiful lake around it. And so I was like, okay, I got to go check this out this summer. And then it just ended up that I had a flight voucher for a scenic tour from one of the airports that I was working with. And they said, hey, do you want to go up here and do the flight? We can't do it here. And I was like, yes, that's amazing. So I actually got to fly over the lake of all the unpatented land and stuff. And that turned. And back from back home, I saw him and met up with him this summer, and he's going to be a land surveyor. So I started telling him about this, and I was like, would you be able to help me out? And he's like, yeah, I'm just in school right now. So things are moving slowly, slowly but surely. So I just wanted to kind of update you guys with that. And I haven't listened to this show lately, but I'm gonna go back and check some of the archives because I don't know how things are looking at other parts of Canada. So I just wanted to let people know about what's going on in Ontario for me.
That's awesome. Do you have access to the National Archives? Is that what you were referring to as far as other sources?
I don't access to the National Archives. It's called On Land. So everything on Ontario, they've literally closed all the offices and put everything up, like digitized. So it's good for I can go like anywhere in the province and look at at the records, right? And so I actually did one with land. I did it. I went online and then I called the person and they helped me through it, and I was able to find it. But like, I don't want to get, I'm the reason I'm looking for unpatented land is I don't want to, be talking with people or getting people upset or, taking land from people or anything like that. So there's like good large areas of just totally unpatented land. And the people at the Crown Land and Grant Office are horrible at getting back to me. So I might just go up and stake a claim and post notice and just do it kind of like old school and under the radar and see what happens,
Yeah,
There
that's a
you go.
great idea. I would love to know how you do that process when you do it. So keep us updated on your progress.
Yeah, I will for sure, and I might actually like document it with like video and stuff. I'm not gonna publish it in real time because I don't want to like get any excess attention or anything like that. But I figured, you know what, I do video work and stuff, and I've got some couple of cameras and everything. So I was like, well, maybe I'll document the whole process and then put it into like a little documentary or something, so that way other people can see what the journey is like, and those that follow will have a little bit of a guide.
Beautiful.
That's
Cool.
great.
Beautiful. How
Yeah.
exciting. Are you
So,
excited,
Sankar,
Rob? Oh, I'm sorry,
go ahead.
Shane. I said, are you
So,
excited,
Sankar,
Rob?
yeah, I am. Like, Like the fact that I got to like fly over that area this summer was amazing because it was really up and down and I was feeling discouraged, especially because I couldn't find anything local. And it's like, I don't really want to move from here. And, you know, I was like, oh, this process, it feels like it's so close, but so far away. And then, you know, synchronicity just lined up and I actually like found, I was like, oh, this place looks like amazing. And they've got lots of unpatented land. And then the fact that I was able to, you know, fly over it for a scenic tour and like literally see it from above and like envision it. And it's like, wow, this is amazing. Like, I can't believe it all came together like that. So it was like super exciting, you know?
I can hear the excitement in your voice. And I think what you're saying right now is very important for all the listeners here because you're coming from a place of from the heart and you're doing everything with pure heart intention. So things are kind of moving smoother for you instead of from a point of worry and a point of you're doing everything through the heart. So things are kind of just working out for you in your favor. Wouldn't you suggest?
Yeah, and like it's not that it's you know, and I'm being open to it, you know, because if I was like, if you get too much in your head, then you're not open to it, you know, and so the fact that I was just discouraged about it being so far away and like, you know, but then the fact that the guy called me and he's like, yeah, like you can do the flight over here, and I was like, oh, this is amazing. I'm gonna get to go over exactly where all this unpatented land is, and it's like it's just gonna I'm gonna be able to say, hey, would I like to live here at all, like, and just not giving up. And when one door closes, it's like, okay. And even that parcel that I found, I wasn't able to like really get an answer on it, and it was really hard to like match up the original land patent, like the original maps with what was online, and it wasn't too clear. And I was like looking on Google Maps, and I was like, I think it's this tract. So like whatever, it was a beautiful summer or fall day a couple weeks ago, I think it was. And I was like, you know what, screw it. I'm like, it's never this nice in the fall here in Ontario, and it's too nice to like just sit at home and be looking at this on the computer. So I just like threw my backpack on, jumped on my motorcycle, and rode out there. And I get to the parcel of land, and the gate's closed. And so I check it out again on Google Maps, and I was like, this land looks like it's there's a number on it, like there's a house number, but it's on this like little stick. But there's no mailbox. It's gated up. It doesn't look like this road has been used in 20 years. And so I'm looking at Google Maps, and it's like I see the road. There's this like beautiful long winding road to the house. It's probably half a kilometer. But then I'm looking on Google Maps, and it looks like there's not even a house there. I was like, it looks like, and I'm like, this is kind of strange. Like maybe it's just blurry. And so I'm kind of standing there, and you know, the neighbors are kind of wondering what I'm doing. And then finally they kind of left, and it's out on like farmland, so there's not too many neighbors, but the people across the street. And I was like, I didn't want to like trespass or anything, but there's no trespassing signs. There's no mailbox. There is a house number, but that's it. But this place looks like it hasn't been accessed in years and years. So I was like, screw it. Nobody's around. As soon as the cars went by, I just jumped the fence and I walked up this like beautiful long driveway with all these trees on it. And I got there, and it's just the foundation of the house, and there's like a little pond slash lake in the back and everything. And I was like, this is so weird. Like, and so that was the first step. And so now I'm gonna like, okay, well, I gotta get call somebody with the house number and see like, is this like truly unpatented, you know, land? And then I don't know. It's really difficult to kind of match it up with the you know, the old maps and everything. So that part is still maybe a possibility as well. So I've kind of got like a couple of ideas that I'm working on, but they're both exciting, you know, like especially this property. I was like, wow, this is already a good start. It's got a foundation and a road up to it and everything, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what experience that you received this week, just off your excitement of speaking here on the radio about it and how you're creating this reality as we speak just with us. You will experience something, and I hope you call in next week to share if something happens magically that can help the listeners.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate it, and thank you guys for taking my call, and thank you for keeping the ball rolling on the homesteading. And like I said, I have some catching up to do because I've been doing kind of got sidetracked with other things, and just but I'm excited to like see what you guys have been talking about and to hear what everybody else is doing. And so, have you guys had some people from Canada call in recently?
You would be the first one, Rob, so far. But
Oh yeah.
we're growing slowly but surely.
Yeah, I just wanted to know. Like, I remember John from, I think, Newfoundland, and there was like, I think, was it Kevin from Alberta? There was a few people that I hope that they're still pushing forward because I'd love to hear from them. So if they're listening, please call back in because We got to keep doing the work, right?
Oh yeah,
Mm-hmm.
100%. Yeah.
One more quick
Well, thank
question,
you
Rob,
guys
if you
so
got
much for taking
time.
my call. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. The land for homeowners, for landowners in Canada right now, the patents you are finding that are there, when's the last time they were patented?
Well, I actually didn't. I haven't really dug into those ones because, so for the literally the unpatented land has never been patented. So that's what's awesome to me about it is like, well,
Yeah.
I'm not even going to tell anybody. I'm going to get my buddy who's a land surveyor. I'm going to go survey out 160 acres, mark it off, do all the documents, get it, and I bet you if I even walked in there and to get it registered and they didn't know that it hasn't been registered, I don't know the whole process, step by step per se, but if they don't know that it hasn't been patented or registered, they might just kind of sign off on it, not really understanding what's happening. And then boom, if I wait the time, it's like, well, I just stake the claim, and I remember Q said one time, he's like, what, you need somebody else's permission? Like somebody's higher than you? It's like, yeah. So, they do it for mining claims and if you're gonna go pillage the resources, they have no problem giving you patents. But to do it just for your own land, I don't know. I couldn't find anybody who's just gone and done it. So I might have to just do it myself.
Good job.
Get it. I love
Yeah.
it.
So from what I understand, some of this land would never even have like there would be no history on it. Like there would be no patent history, right? Because it's literally, I haven't got dug in that far, but like it shows online all the yellow areas are freehold land. So you can find that parcel, you can find the historical records, but for the unpatented land, there's literally no reference. So I guess it's never been, it's just basically, I think the term is terra nullius, so it belongs to no one,
Wow.
Right.
We
Yeah.
Thank you, Rob.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Awesome.
Thank you guys for taking my call. You guys have an awesome day.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, I don't see any other callers. So, Tina, one question for you before we move on. So, in regard to the Torrens, from what I'm seeing here is that contrast with U.S. abstract systems by avoiding deed chains in real estate is often means full ownership of land and building. Is that correct with the Torrens?
Well, my research today just kind of focused on the judicial certificate of title that was that's generated by this system. So, I can look that up, but I'm not quite sure.
It would be interesting to know how
Yeah.
it, if it's because the one thing that Q always told us to do is learn the different types of deeds, and the one that I'm learning about in my experience is the mortgage deed, and the way that the mortgages are created and how they're funneled through the financial system. So is there anything else on the Torrens that you want to share? Because I'm going to move on. If not,
No, I just thought it was a really good resource to because the judge had already researched the chain of title all the way back to the grant or the patent, and it's a judicial record, it's a public record. It just might make it easier for people to find those earlier records.
absolutely. And we want it to be as easy as possible because it's a lot of work, that's for sure. Okay, so you guys, I just want to go back into, I was listening to an audio of Q's and him and it, this was when they first were starting to do step one. And you can find his steps on PRQ Homestead in the archives if you're interested in looking going back, because I found I recognized a lot of information in this audio. They were talking about the legacy monarchies that gave land grants to the succession of the countries, the states, and so forth. In the case with Sweden, Finland, Denmark, Ireland, UK, they gave land grants to control the US or to control us. And this is why we have taxation today, is what Q said. So very interesting. And then he talked about Clark County. So Clark County, if you're listening, we'd love to hear from you guys also. Process lives in municipality where all the properties were sold in quarter acres or less within a city boundary line. Solano County Mexican land grants and Spanish monarchy grants. So this is just information that I feel will help each and every one of us when we're doing our search for the patent and the grants and whatever else information we need in regard to our homesteading. And he also did say for those states, the Historical Society and National Archives ruling monarchies preceded the United States governments. Okay. So for those of you that are in the 13 colonies, which we've mentioned in past shows, you'll be able to find information at historical societies and also national archives. So he goes on to query, he tells people how to get to the homesteading, but he says there are very, very interesting people in the world watching our success right now on this radio show. So I wanted to reiterate that to everyone that's out there listening. For us to get changes made by you coming forth and telling us the successes, the challenges, or whatever the process may be when you're doing your homesteading, there are interesting people in the world watching our success. Okay. So the more that we come forth, the more they know what's going on, and that helps them to build case law if need be, depending on the situation. So the more dialogue that we get on the radio, this is a way to validate our communication problems with any hiccups we have in regard to the homesteading patent process. So I thought that was something I wanted to share with you guys. That here we are in present day and we're back on the radio. So please remember that all the stuff that you're doing out there, whether it's the challenges, successes, whatever it may be, this is the place to come to share that information. He did go on and talk about we need some banjo music. Well, we got that covered, right, Shane?
We do, don't we?
Yeah. And he said it twice in that show. So that was interesting. Again, future proofs past, right?
That was synchronistic there, wasn't
Exactly.
it? You
Exactly.
chose that banjo and then you heard the show after you changed the name.
Exactly. Yeah. So I loved hearing that because we were able to find his banjo music and I know that he likes it. So that's good. All right. So he talks about giving a BA to the Pope. Now, I'm not sure what that means. Tina and I talked about that. And he said, he says it's kind of funny things behind the scenes. And so, you know, there's clues. I think he's dropping us breadcrumbs, excuse me, breadcrumbs in what he says in these past shows. And I don't mean to go back into the past, but it kind of came my way. So I felt compelled to share it with the audience. And then he talks about putting a PowerPoint together to show us examples that have been proven. And he said that they put six times, up to six times, properties in foreclosure, or no, in foreclosure multiple times. And then how to defend ourselves in the county court system. All right. Now, at the time, I didn't understand what he meant by that, but now I do from my own experience. And I don't want to get too much into what I am going through at this point in time until I complete the journey. But yesterday was a very, very intense day for me. I had something that I had to get done ASAP before 4 o'clock that day. I didn't think it was possible, but I put it, I did it, I did everything I needed to do, and I made the deadline and I made it happen. I made it happen because this is my passion, this is my freedom. And you look at things sometimes and you say, oh my gosh, there's no way this is I'm not gonna be able to do it. But you will do it as long as you know that you're gonna do it and you feel the faith in yourself that you have the power and the ability and the drive to get it done. You'll get it done. And that's exactly what took place for me yesterday. And it was definitely a journey. So that being said, I've learned a lot about my present situation in regard to my foreclosure, which the deadline or the end of my redemption is on Monday. And I saved my ass yesterday. Yeah, in a nick of time. Now, I will share that with anybody that would like to know that is doing a foreclosure in an email privately. I do not want to bring the information on the airwaves. because it is better that we do it one-on-one than telling the world, because there's a lot of interesting things. And now, as he goes on to say how easy it is to pat Milan, it's more about the money mafia of our countries. And let me tell you what, he is not shitting around about that. All right. So when you're doing your mortgages and you're looking at your patents and you're ready to maybe take that trip down that road where you're not going to pay your mortgage payment anymore, make sure that you understand your contracts, the banker terms, and all the terms that are in that contract before you take that step. Learn it. Learn it like it's, well, I don't want to say the Bible. But it's really important to know the terms and understand. That's how we defend ourselves, knowing what they know and then turning it back their way. So you have to be really honest with yourself that you know what you are saying when you're defending, which is still easy. We just have to re-educate ourselves on what is retainment and succession of land. All right. He then goes on and talks about how this is a proven methodology. And he gives his thanks and he says this lady's name. And I totally missed it, but I know who this lady is because I've spoken with her one-on-one. And she is affiliated with the assembly. And I do believe that's where he got most of his information for her incredible journey with him, is what he says. And that is at the 14.38 minute mark on that audio, where he discusses step one. And if you go back and listen, there's a lot of information. So he also goes on to say, means the world to him to have us free. And I know that it means the world to me that I get to have this opportunity to share my experiences and everyone else coming on this radio show to share their experiences. And how we become a collective in freeing ourselves and doing it from our hearts, knowing the proper language, the way to navigate through it, and being as friendly as we can with the opposition. Okay? Because there are a lot of people in that side that don't really know about this, and they're just doing their job. And we all know that. So he then goes and talks about the delivery and acceptance of deeds. He said, tremendous homework for us to do. And again, tremendous homework for us to do. Learn the deeds, learn what they all mean, and look at your deeds with your mortgage documents and make sure you understand them. All the paperwork that you have, make sure you understand them. And then he says, all we need is the deed of the last purchaser of the property. It's available to the public. And it's at 18 minute mark is where he talks about that. And then he goes on to say, and this is something else that I learned, that I am learning, that bank terms associated with the deeds assumed titles, and they're all connected. Money mafia connected. I'm just giving you clues here. So really do your research on the documents that you have for the property that you're trying to homestead. Understand both sides. The title insurance companies are really fond of them. Most of the real estate industry is conducting fraud on the United States of America and population and many people around the world. His words exactly in that audio. And that ain't no shit, period. I'm learning that from my personal experience. That again, I do not want to get into on the radio at this point until I get through what it is that my experiences is leading me to. Okay, so let's see. There was anything on that, Tina and Shane, you guys want to chime in?
No,
Nope.
I want to hear about your experience. Well, I've heard about it, but I want
Well,
to
I just explained it in detail. Okay. I won't get too in depth to it, but I had to take a bankruptcy counseling course yesterday and then get documents put together, get them all revised, get all my information together, and I had probably 4 hours to do all of it. So that I could buy more time for my redemption period. All right. So what I did is I found a class online, debtorcc.com, and it took me 40 minutes, and I was able to print out the certificate as soon as it was done. And I went to the, where was it that I went, Tina? MichiganState.com to find the documents. A friend of mine sent me the link. And
USCourts.gov for the
yep, that's it.
Western District of Michigan.
Yep. So I found all the documents. We called. Tina was so kindly to help me out because I'm like, oh my God, I'm not going to get this done in time, but I did. And she actually called down there and spoke to the woman about the actual documents that we needed. So I was able to put them together. I filled them out. I sent them to the UPS store so that when I was flying by in my car, I could stop in and pick them up. And I got all that information, and it was like a 45-minute drive to the Grand Rapids courthouse. And there was a little traffic jam, and I went, oh no, not a traffic jam. But I stayed neutral, and I said, it's going to be fine. It's not going to be a long one. And sure enough, it wasn't. So I made it down there in time, walked in. Everybody was very, very friendly to me. She took the documents, she stamped them. There was a fee involved that I had to pay, which I paid. And within an hour after I left the place, I had my case number. So I was able to call the sheriff's office and share with him that my foreclosure is now on the bankruptcy schedule. And therefore, that means they can't come a knocking on my door, is what I'm understanding. And I said to him politely from my heart that if you need the case number, feel free to get a hold of me and I can share that number with you. So that was my day yesterday, and I got it done. And it is a secondary precaution to what my first plan of action is. And I cannot share that right now until we've completed that. And it will be minimal information on the airwaves. But again, if those of you that are in foreclosure, I can assist you with information one-on-one. Okay. Let's see, what do we got here? We got. Want to look at the petition? Petition? Yes. Tina?
I'm here. I just did
Okay.
a search on Kenna's information regarding that petition in Oklahoma.
Okay.
So, heads up, Oklahoma. This is State Question 841, Initiative Petition 453. It was filed November 21st with the Oklahoma Secretary of State. That's where I found it on the Secretary of State website. And it was signed by an Oklahoma representative and a senator. So look at the language of this document. What they're trying to do is they're trying to make an amendment to the Constitution.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm kind of reading through it. I could read the whole thing, but I don't think we have a lot of time for that.
No, we don't, but we have another show
But
coming up, so yeah.
That's true. That's true. So be enacted by the people of the state of Oklahoma that Article 5, Section 30A of the Oklahoma Constitution be adopted to read as follows. So this is what they want to do. This is what they're doing. It's a really great document for people in other states to take a look at. So they want to amend it, beginning with the 2027. They want to reduce the taxes by a third, and then 2028, reduce by two-thirds, and then by 2029, reduce the property taxes by 100% full assessed value to the homestead. So
Wow.
it also says every homestead qualified under the laws of this state shall be entitled to an exemption from all ad valorem taxation as follows. And then I told you what the schedule was.
Wow.
So yeah, it's really a great read. It's a good resource for us to see what people are doing in other states. It's impressive. And
Very.
here's the fiscal impact, which is very curious. Approximately 400 million reduction of ad valorem revenue in 2027, 800 million in 2028, and 1.2 billion annually beginning in 2029.
Ooh,
It's
wow.
crazy, huh?
Yeah, that's another thing too. Those of you that are here in Michigan, I did pull up the Michigan Constitution, and that's a really good read to anybody that wants to know their system. There are some things in there that are equated to the land and the mortgages, etc. We got 3 minutes left, so I don't want to go over time. I got spanked on the hand by Thomas, and it hurt. Ouch. Shane, anything you want to say before we leave?
No, y'all doing a great job. Thank you, Robin. Thank you, BBS Radio. Thank you, Tina, for coming on and educating us. Robin, you're the backbone of this magical time. I think Q knew that you were going to be the rock star in this situation, and future proves past. So
Yeah.
keep rolling.
How was your workout this morning? Are you going to be sore tomorrow?
Oh no. I'm in great shape. Great shape.
All right. Awesome. Awesome. And Tina, once again, love to have you back again because this is fun working with you. So maybe you'll just become a permanent, visitor if that's your highest excitement. And on that note, thank you, dear.
Thank you, too. Thank you, BBS Radio. Thank you, Q. Thank you, Shane. Thank
Yes.
you, Source. I'm
And
grateful to be here, so thank you.
thank you to all the listeners. And so on that note, as the golden hues of autumn fade into the crisp whisper of winter, picture this on your homestead. You've just harvested the last of your heirloom pumpkins. The turkey you raised is strutting proudly, though a bit nervously, and the family gathers round the table, groaning under pies made from your own orchard apples. But wait, oh no. The mischievous goats have staged a coup, tipping over the compost bin and inviting the chickens to the impromptu feast. Feathers fly, laughters echo, and amidst the chaos, you realize this is the true bounty of homesteading, messy, joyful, and full of gratitude. From all of us at PRQ Homesteading Expanded here on BBS Radio Station 1, have a hilariously hearty Thanksgiving. Keep those roots deep in your spirits high. Until the next time, have a beautiful, beautiful rest of your day. Love you all.
See y'all later.